All right, Sean. All right. So, good morning, everybody. I'll call to order the regularly scheduled Board of Supervisors meeting for this Tuesday, January 9th, 2018. We've got a slam-packed agenda today, so we're going to look to move as efficiently as we can through it. But we'll start, as always, by honoring America with the Pledge of Allegiance.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Well, as always, the first item on our agenda is public comment number one. And we do, in fact, have somebody who wants to make a public comment as we get started today. But before we get there, I have a statement I need to make. In the hopes that this board can start to move on and really look at 2018. Supervisor Olson, over the last 6 months or so, you brought a level of disruption to Story County beyond anything we have experienced in our history. That fact is now overshadowing Story County's unbelievably positive and impactful 2017 and creating a burdensome work environment for our staff, and it's not serving the people of Story County. Your time as a supervisor started in such a positive, productive manner as you and Marty and I came together and collaboratively produced Story County's fifth balanced budget in a row. We worked together to improve infrastructure, housing, workforce development, transportation, and update county ordinances. Personally, I committed to you on multiple occasions, both in public and in private, my steadfast desire to make sure you have all the tools and resources necessary to be a good supervisor. I remain committed to that outcome. Our current situation is fully caused by your decisions and your actions. No one asked you to try to micromanage staff. No one asked you to claim insubordination on a county employee. No one asked you to disregard the legal advice of our county attorney. No one asked you to stop showing up for work on a regular basis. No one asked you to repeatedly violate Iowa open meeting laws, and no one asked you to download and watch Netflix in your Story County office. These were all done by you and you alone. It's time to stop blaming others or the system and accept responsibility for your actions. So, with the notable exception of allowing you to mistreat our staff or take advantage of the people of Story County, I want to reaffirm that I will do anything and everything in my power to help you in moving past this chapter and for us to come back together in a collaborative manner as we continue to work for the people of Story County. Loris, my door is always open, and I remain ready to assist you in any way you deem helpful. All right, public comment number one. This is an opportunity for members of the public to address any topic on this agenda or anything else if you'd like to. We do have one former supervisor, Wayne Clinton, has asked to address us on these proposed principles of operations. Wayne, I always like it when you're in the house.
Well, it's good to be here.
Morning, Wayne.
Kind of a different role to sit here behind this microphone and so forth. First of all, Supervisor Sanders, Supervisor Chitty, Supervisor Olson, it is unusual for me to be in this role, but as a former supervisor and serving as now a taxpayer and citizen of Story County, certain things have come to light over the past year that causes me to no longer just sit back silently without at least trying to share some of my vast experience as a supervisor with how things occurred in the past and what my desire and hope is for the future. I am not here to shed blame or to try to chastise Supervisor Olson in any way, shape, or form, or to try to say to the board that you should do this or should do that. I do think that I do appreciate some of what Supervisor Sanders said in his opening comments about the willingness to work together collaboratively for the betterment of Story County. I would like to kind of go back a little bit, and I chose to speak on this topic because As a former supervisor with 16 years of experience and serving a decade on the supervisor and exec board and 3 years on the ISAC board of directors, one of our charges as a supervisor and exec board was to put together an agenda and a format by which we help supervisors understand their jobs, their roles, their duties, and their responsibilities. It was a great learning experience also for me, but it was an opportunity to, as new officer of school, to reach out to new supervisors about some of the little things that you need to be mindful of that could make a big difference in how you go about doing your job. I know full well that whenever there's a change of the makeup of a board, whether it's two new board members or one board member that's changing, that people are going to come to the table with ideas and wanting to perhaps look at some things and suggest that maybe there's a different way of doing things. I think that boards should always be open and willing to listen to those things, and if they deem something that could be supported by the majority of the board, they certainly would be willing to consider that. However, this idea of the principles of operation now struck me as somewhat a little odd, because in my experience, and then I did reach out. I reached out to some of our larger county supervisors, and using my past experience, and nowhere has any county actually had to have a formal written policy regarding what duties and responsibilities boards of supervisors do. It has always been the understanding that supervisors role and was outlined by the Code of Iowa, and within that code, one of the more common things was is that in working with boards and commissions and also working with department heads and so forth, that oftentimes we're in a liaison role and not necessarily in a micromanagement role. And I think when we began to cross over into wanting to micromanage a particular department, we create an undue tension. We train and we hire outstanding professionals to lead us. And in my experience, and I'm sure that this experience I've experienced with both Supervisor Sanders and Chitty in our time together, there was a degree, an element of trust and mutual respect that when we were assigned a particular department or board, we treated that as a liaison position, that we were not there to try to guide and tell them how they should run their department, but to be a willing listener, and to also offer suggestions if asked. And if something needed to be brought before the full board for a change in operational principles, that was the method by which this was done. I've gone round and round, probably rewritten my statement on more than one occasion. And the one thing that I've always prided myself in is be a bridge builder and not trying to tear someone or something down. I don't have a stake in what the board does, other than an interested citizen. But I do know that the citizens of Story County deserves a board that will work together collaboratively for the best interest of Story County. And what I want to propose is something that I heard Supervisor Sanders say. What happened in the past is in the past. It should remain that way. We should look forward to the future, in not only in building a better working relationship amongst with each other, but amongst the staff. And if there have been areas where staff have been uncomfortable for whatever reason, hopefully there can be an opportunity and a process by which collectively those things can be put aside and everybody working together for the good of Story County. I do want to say that Story County, in my opinion, is certainly one of the best-run counties in the state of Iowa. I've had nothing but great comments from my colleagues around the 99 counties from my years of service about our staff, our other elected officials, and the collaborative effort and the innovative things that we've done together. I hope that those things will continue, but I do know that it's important for all of us, citizens, supervisors, elected officials, department heads, employees of Story County, to work in the best interest of a climate of mutual respect and trust in trying to move Story County forward as we've done. Today, this agenda is going to be an example of several of the great collaborative things that have been started in the past and are now being built on and more enhanced, and a great working relationship amongst departments. It is that collaboration that I want to see continued. And so I am hopeful that I too, even though I'm outside of the decision-making process, I would be more than happy at any time to share some of my past experience in terms of things that were successful for us in the past, things that I've learned from other county supervisors and so forth. But I think the more important thing is that it is not my place to dictate or tell you how to operate. And so therefore, I'm not going to weigh into that role. But I'm just going to ask all three of you. I looked at some of the principles of operation. And first of all, my personal take is I don't think you need a written formal guiding principles. But I think there are some things there that perhaps some agreement or understanding can be reached that says, you know, maybe this is something that we can all kind of invest in and we can all kind of basically do. But I do want to point out that, and I'll give an example. When I was on the Conservation Board, as an elected official, Board of Supervisors, I voted to approve the conservation budget as presented by the board, with the caveat that when it comes before the Board of Supervisors, there may be some changes. There may be some reasons that I cannot, will not stand up and if the majority of the board feels that we need to modify or change something, because now I'm getting some other input in the decision-making process as a supervisor. So I think that we need to always keep in mind that we have dual responsibilities as a supervisor sitting on some of these boards where we have fiduciary responsibilities. It is when that line comes to where we are putting Story County in a position to decide to vote to either increase funding or to do something that is different than what has already been done in the past, we need to either consider recusing ourselves or clearly stating that we can be supportive of taking this before the board for consideration. But I may or may not be, you know, 100% behind you at the end of the day. So I probably spoken longer than I wanted to. But I have faith in you three. I have faith in Ms. Olson. I want nothing but the best for Story County. Our employees, our department heads deserve to see you guys as a true model of a representative government and what is good about being elected officials and decision makers. We see negative things in the news all the time. I hope that we can take a look at everything that's on the agenda today and weigh some of the principles that are probably being asked. We may decide that just as a that there are one or two of those things that may not be a bad idea, or we may not be fully immersed in all of it. But I hope, and I do not plan to make this a regular habit. One side of me said maybe I should start, you know, looking at the board calendars and meetings and start going around and showing up at these different meetings and then voicing my opinion. But I said, that's not my role. So thank you for the opportunity. I certainly want to thank the citizens of Story County, the employees of Story County, for 16 wonderful years. It was a defining moment in my life, and I hope that I will always be here to support and help Story County move forward in the most productive manner. So thank you for the opportunity to share a few comments.
Wayne, thank you so much. As always, your words are wise and right to the mark. And I'll say this, I had the pleasure of serving six of those 16 years with Wayne. Wayne, what you need to know is whatever Story County gave to you, you gave back tenfold. And Story County is absolutely a better place. Really wise words, and I agree with you so much. Thank you.
Thank you, Wayne.
Absolutely. So, anybody else? Public comment number one, opportunity. George, come on up.
Good morning, George.
Hi, George. Good morning, George Felixos. I'm representing the MLK Day Planning Committee. Mm-hmm. I see on your agenda that you have a discussion about joining or getting involved with NAACP. I want to encourage the Board of Supervisors to do that. I'm also a member of the NAACP and very proud of that. And I do want to just take a moment to thank the Board of Supervisors and your chairperson, Rick, for becoming part of the MLK Day celebration next Monday. We, on the Planning Committee, decided to move it from just an Ames-based celebration to all of Story County. Always in the past, the mayor of Ames has made the welcome. This year, Rick and our new mayor in Ames will both make the welcome. I'd like to ask you to do anything you can to promote this in countywide, especially among children and families. It's really important that we can all work together toward a common goal of community cooperation, civility, respect for one another, and social justice. And the accomplishments of Dr. King need to be celebrated, and we need to learn from the great accomplishments of this individual and the way we're honoring him. Nationwide, we need to honor him in Story County. So I have a flyer. If you don't mind, I'll give to each of you and hand out and ask you to put it up and help promote it. And again, thank you for helping us to make this a countywide celebration.
Super.
Our
thank
theme
you so much.
Is equality, justice, and unity.
Outstanding.
Thank you, George.
Thanks, George.
I've got it on my calendar. So, okay.
Very good. Anybody else in public comment number one? Thanks, George. All right, next is consideration of proclamation declaring the week of January 7, 2018 as Slavery and Human Trafficking Prevention and Awareness Week. And we've got multiple entities that are bringing this to us, including YSS, Access, Protecting Our Children, Story County Sheriff's Office, Central Iowa Service Network Against Human Trafficking, Teens Against Human Trafficking, and the Story County Attorney's Office. The proclamation says, whereas one of the United States founding principles is that all people are created equal with the inalienable right to life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. In addition, the 13th Amendment to the Constitution abolished slavery and involuntary servitude. Whereas slavery within the United States today is most often found in the form of forced labor and sex trafficking, which weakens our social fabric, increases violence and organized crime, and debases our humanity. Whereas this heinous crime is found within our own community. Whereas the Iowa Network Against Human Trafficking has been working for 10 years to abolish all forms of human trafficking through education, volunteerism, advocacy, and collaboration. Whereas every business, community organization, faith community, family, and individual can make a difference by working to protect our young people from sexual exploitation, by addressing the problem of internet sex trafficking and pornography, and by becoming more aware of the problem and possible solutions. Therefore, we, the members of the Story County Board of Supervisors, do hereby proclaim the week of January 7, 2018 as Slavery and Human Trafficking Prevention and Awareness Week, and encourage all of our citizens to become more informed on this growing problem, to be vigilant and report suspicious activity, and to work towards solutions to end trafficking in all its forms in our community. If you see something that doesn't look right, take action and call the National Human Trafficking Hotline at 888-373-7888 or contact local law enforcement at 911. Board, action.
Move adoption of the proclamation declaring this week of January 7, 2018 as Slavery and Human Trafficking Prevention and Awareness Week.
I move second.
Any comments before we vote?
Glad that we are an organization that sees the value in doing that. Thank you for the response of agencies that would, if this visits our community, would stand in the position to ameliorating it.
I do. I feel fortunate that through my previous career, I was around and participating or in some meetings where Mr. Blitzos and his staff at YSS first brought this to attention. Obviously, the other entities have been working and been aware for a long time, too, and thank you for that. One of the most powerful speeches I ever heard on this was actually by an employee of YSS, I believe still is, Ruth Buckles. And Ruth adopted a young woman who had been trafficked. And I heard Ruth make a presentation to, it was actually a group of what you could probably say grandmotherly aged people, almost all women, had been put together by some women in Ames. And it was extremely powerful to listen to her talk about watch your granddaughters and make them stay where they're going and know who their friends are, and not just in that, oh, I'm going over Susie's house. But Ruth really talked about how vulnerable young women are today, and they can be raised in a good home. And it's not a stereotypical situation. So I would urge everyone, if you ever get an opportunity, to listen for hand either to this young woman, who I know is 23 or 24, or Mrs. Buckles, please take the opportunity to hear it. It will open it up to you in your eyes in a very different way. And thank you all.
Super. Any of the sponsoring agencies got any comments to make before we vote on it? Thank you, Chair. Jenny.
Aye.
Olson.
Aye.
Sanders. Aye. Let's do a photo right down here in front to commemorate this action.
Nobody can't photo bomb.
Law enforcement in the center, please.
Yeah.
Yes.
The honorees here. Okay, I'm going to take it from Carla. Count three. 1, 2, 3. Thank you.
Other duties at the sign, Carl.
Yeah. After her today.
Thank you. I will remember that. I am not the only one. Getting ready to do your little thing. And what is, oh, that's it.
All right, and now we are to consideration of minutes from our January 2nd meeting.
Move as presented.
Second.
We've got a motion in the second. Chief.
Aye.
Olson.
Aye.
Sanders. Aye. No personnel actions today. Claims board.
I would move as presented.
I would say we have a clarification before us because we had a discussion on CERFA last week. And
No, that's claims.
Oh, that's fine. Claims as presented.
Yeah, and but there is a clarification, Marty. You're 100% right. Included in this claim was the one to submitted by Boost for parenting leave, which we had sent to our civil attorney just to give us some clarification. We do, in fact, need to have that paid, so that's reflected in these claims. Anything further? Olson.
Aye.
Cheney.
Aye.
Sanders. Aye. Consent agenda board. Let's absolutely pull item 1 and item 4 for discussion. Is there anything else we need to pull?
I'd like to pull item 2 and item 3 also.
All right, so we're pulling items 1, 2, 3, and 4 for discussion. So let's approve the claims with those 4 full.
I would so move.
Second.
Motion and second. Olson.
Aye.
Cheney.
Aye.
Sanders. Aye. Item 1 on consent agenda is clarification of board's intent with regard to resolution 1871. That is, in fact, Marty, what you were referring to, the Central Iowa Regional Transportation Planning Alliance. When we talked about it last week, I think our intent was very clearly what's represented here, but we talked about it in terms of what we had done with Ames when we got to it. So we just need to clarify that our primary representative is going to be Loris Olson. I'll be the alternate. And on the technical committee, Darren Boone will be our primary representative and Tyler Sparks will be our representative. That is, in fact, what we did. It just wasn't completely clear when I listened to the audio. So I ask that we come back and just clarify. Can I have a motion of clarifying our intent last week, if that, in fact, was our intent?
I would move adoption of Resolution 1871 as presented.
I would second.
And the only thing I'll ask if you change there, Marty, is we've already adopted it. We're just clarifying that that was our intent. Okay? Chitty?
Aye.
Olson?
Aye.
Sanders? Aye. So we affirm the intent. Item 2, Loris, you asked for this to be pulled. This is the appointment for Aging Resources Advisory Council for a 3-year term. Shayla Harsh reappointed.
I did, and I had already communicated with our Director of External Operations that I wanted to pull it just to receive some background clarifying information. So this appointment, can you just explain how we ended up on this appointment having it today?
Sure. Good morning, Board.
Good morning.
This particular appointment, it's the Advisory Council for Aging Resources of Central Iowa, which the county is a part of. And in that particular council, they look for providers or consumers of services to serve in those capacities. And Heartland Senior Services has had a longstanding staff member that participates on that council. And originally it had been Mary Ellen Metzger. And when she left Heartland Senior Services, Heartland then offered up Shayla Harsh. And so we just wanted to continue that relationship, and that's why the recommendation was put forward to continue with Shayla.
Thank you. I just thought that we should all explain how that happened.
Perfect. Can you make that motion?
I will. I move that we appoint Shayla Harsh to the Aging Resources Advisory Council for a 3-year term ending June 30th of 2020.
Second.
Motion is second. Olson?
Aye.
Cheney?
Aye.
Sanders? Aye. Item 3, I assume same kind of thing?
Same kind of thing, yes.
Yep. I took a look at the Story County DCAT Board's bylaws just to get a make sure I have a clearer understanding of how the representation is identified. And in there, they talk about having at least 2 additional community representatives, and those representatives could include individuals from schools, health services, community groups, parents, etc. And then once those individuals are identified, they are determined by a simple majority vote of the Story County DCAT Governing Board. So, and from what I understand, this individual, Spence Evans, is a representative from the Ames Community School District. Prior to him, it was somebody from the Nevada.
Yep. Jim Walker before him.
Yeah. So, again, this is just a continuation of acknowledging what this particular board is looking at in terms of their membership, and they need somebody from the educational system.
Once again, thank you. Okay. I would move that we approve Spence Evans for a 3-year term appointment to the DCAT board with a term ending December 31st of 2020.
Second.
Motion is second. Olson.
Aye.
Cheney.
Aye.
Sanders. Aye. Okay, item 4, we had a Scrivener's error. Consideration of appointment for E911 Service Board for a 1-year term ending 12/31/18, and it said for Jerry Stewart, who is the former chief of ISU Public Safety. The reality is that should be Michael Newton, who is the current chief of ISU Public Safety, and it's one of those permanent spots that as chief of ISU Public Safety, you're going to serve on the E911 board. If you guys are okay with that, I'd take a motion to approve.
I will move that we appoint Michael Newton to a one-year term to the E911 Service Board.
I would second that.
Super. Olson.
Aye.
Chi.
Aye.
Sanders, aye. Thank you all.
Thank you, David.
Thanks,
Deb. Thank you, Deb.
No public hearing items today. Additional items. Item one is discussion and consideration of our website refresh. Leanne and Barb, and I don't see Barb, so I think it's just Leanne.
Thank you.
Morning, Leanne.
I apologize for that day-long training, or at least training this morning. Okay. What I have is just a quick snapshot of where the website refresh project is for the board, and then just some slides for clarification so you can see some of the direction in which the committee is headed, and the product from Civic Plus to which we've been asked to react. And I did provide a copy of today's presentation. I did not have it on the agenda last week because we're still waiting Friday for some direction from Civic Plus, a response from Civic Plus. So my apologies for that, but I can make it available. You've seen this before. This is the timeline that Civic Plus put together for us. As you can see, there's more check marks than were there in December when I think Alyssa and Barb were before you at that point. Where that green oval is kind of where we are. We're in a tentative design review request. We've sent it to them. Now we're waiting for a mock-up, and I'll get to that shortly. So kind of first things first, kind of what the appearance of the new website may be. So we met earlier in December with Civic Plus. You've seen the grayscale mock-ups. This is where we start seeing little pictures to it to help us visualize what that grayscale was to demonstrate. On the left is what Civic Plus presented to us. And really, there was some dissatisfaction on the committee's end that the logo is just up there in a big block. And it just kind of covers it. It doesn't really seem to have the feel that we were looking for. So I very, very quickly and roughly did up a draft mock-up to send back to Civic Plus, ran it through the committee. That's what you see on the right. So don't be attached to the font or anything on the right-hand side, but just to get a different feel of what I want to see what it would look like if we had just the Story County. And then the logo itself gets dropped down to the lower left-hand corner. Barb, in turn, sent this on to Civic Plus, and our project manager said it was doable. They needed some items from us, like the logo and transparent format and stuff like that. And then as we got more into it, we had some other recommended changes, and I'll show you those here in a couple slides. But we did ask for two different mock-ups, basically the one on the right, but then one that kind of looks similar to Hardin County's, and I'll show you that website as well. The response we received was we only get one mock-up at a time. So we're expecting that mock-up, I think it's by the end of this week. It was supposed to be, I think, the end of last week. So we're still marching forward, following what we're doing, as well, I think, Civic Pluses as well. But we want to live with this. We have 3 years, but we want to make sure that we don't, when we start living with it at the get-go in April, we don't not like it. So... Again, what is on the right, what's on the right is what we expect back, something similar. But I'll show you Hardin County's too. We'd like to see a different feel of it too. I mean, to really be able to react to both.
Yeah, I just want to say congratulations on making that judgment call about the substitution. And thank you.
Collectively, the committee, that logo just the block, And that's a great segue to the interior pages. The next slide. Same feel, that blocky logo just seems so in your face almost. And so, again, the right side is the mock-up I did. And again, that's sent back to Civic Plus. So these are our interior pages. We finally get to see how the color scheme's being used. I think in general we were okay, appreciative of the color scheme. It's using all the colors from our logo, but it's not so blockish, bluish like our current website is. Which so that's what the mock-ups will look like. Then the navigation and content. Right now we've got five main buttons: your government, department services, for business, and for visitors. We'd like to turn that down to four, or narrow it down to four, reduce it to four. Put your government as both your government, which right now, if you look at it, is really the board of supervisors and boards and commissions and some miscellaneous. And the departments, including the other elected officials,
right,
includes all that those entities. We'd like to move them all into one, your government.
Mm-hmm.
And so, and you've seen something similar to this before. Right now we have a stair-step approach. And we've decided to go to mega menu, which is kind of this. I'll go to Hardin County's, actually. I have it linked. It's a easier way to navigate rather than stepping through each one as we do right now. Oh, shoot. Oh, there. Hardin County, so if you go to your government, it's every elected official and department under the county operations. You don't have to assume that your government is just to find the board of supervisors and then you go to departments to find the auditor's office. It's one and done. This is how we'd like to do it. I don't know if I want to say there was some reluctancy, but I think there was initial feedback we got from Civic Plus was, are you sure? And we're like, yes, we are sure. The concern was they didn't want the mega menus to be too large and cumbersome. I think this is the nature of county government in Iowa, and it really, Hardin County has done it well. And So we expressed that back to them. But again, want to make sure that the board's okay with just the four categories then.
And I'd like to just thank you also for combining, I hope, four business and four visitors into our community.
It is.
Yeah.
Okay. I really appreciate that. I like that. And I think it allows more flexibility too.
And it takes some of what was under services as well, under our community. Really, it looked comprehensively. The committee looked at the different navigations we had, and what made sense for us was totally different than what makes sense for the general public and the end users. So again, going down to these four main menu items, and then again looking at the Hardin County kind of approach. On Hardin County too, you see that blue line on the top. That's the other mock-up we want. We want to see what it looks like where we kind of have some space on the top that kind of highlights the county and then has the picture. So I think that's going to be, after we see this next mock-up, what we ask for again. We've asked for that, but I think that'll be the iterative process we're going through. Okay, then to the graphic buttons. The graphic buttons, if you go to our any website, this is directly the definition off Civic Plus. It's a link that is graphically highlighted to draw the eye. These links may be carried to all pages or restricted to the home page only. In our case, it's through all the pages. These may include links to modules, documents, third-party websites or resources, other pages within the website, other items of special interest to the community. So when we first put our information together for Civic Plus, we went back and looked at the internal and the external surveys and looked to see what sites were most used on our website. And that's how we came up with what would be our graphic buttons or graphic links. And so right now, that top line in the blue, which you kind of see the bottom of the canoe, that's what we have proposed right now. There are six links. Five links is what we discussed. Agendas and minutes, beacon, our GIS maps, our online payments, notify me, and report a concern. We had some internal discussions. If you go back to Hardin County's, which is that second one, that's this second line right here, they have who's in jail, which is probably the most highly hit part of our website. Do you want to add that as a graphic button? And that's where we're turning to you guys for direction on that. and then do we want to add jobs? Which both Hardin County and I think Greene County, Ohio have that. There was some also discussion at the committee level. If you look at this top line and the third line, and then the fifth line, I'm sorry, it's hard to see. This is Washington County, Iowa. I'll go there real quick. See how they're just, there's not a graphic element to them. They're just pretty one color, monotone. Uh-huh. Yeah. There's too many things open. As compared to Greene County, Ohio, they're actually images on these graphic buttons. If we do the graphic button images, they have to, Pacific Plus recommends that we have someone that knows Photoshop in and out, knows all the Creative Suites programming, because that's how those are modified. And that's why our initial delivery was just the static blue bubbles that you saw. And so we're seeking some direction from that too.
What's your initial thought on that, since Photoshop asked you to get the Photoshop last year, the edits? Do you have any feeling yet, or are you still thinking about it?
I'm still thinking about it. I like the clean look of just uniformity, but I don't like how they appear on that blue line and what they've proposed for us. They just don't. They don't jump out, and I don't think they meet the intention of what their intent, what, how they're defined. So I'd like to find where that sweet spot is, and that may be what McKinney, Texas, this is, where they've made them different colors on a white background. Mm-hmm. And we've gone back to McKinney several times.
Yeah.
I mean, to me, there's okay. If you look at the calendar, there's a little calendar icon. There's some intuition that you that is in play in that one, so you don't have to have an image of a calendar and then worry about it not fitting in the bubble. And I mean that. So I'm torn. I just don't like the standard blue that they're proposing for us. So I'm interested to see what the new mock-up is. But we're so some direction from the board. Do you like just uniformity like this, or do you want images?
Well, so the entire intent of these graphic buttons is it's supposed to catch the eye, right? And I think I agree that when you just have that original blue kind of all blending in together, it doesn't necessarily catch the eye. I think the others do, whether it's some kind of image or just the graphic on white, they catch the eye. And then for me, it comes down to how much work is it going to be to maintain if we use the full-blown graphics versus something. I mean, all people are really going to want to do is be able to find the information they want, and us helping them do that, I think, should be our entire goal.
So I put Hardin County's up there, too. They have the images within it. Now, in my opinion, Hardin County has too many graphic buttons,
yeah.
And actually Civic Plus recommends a sweet spot of six.
And you're talking about five.
Maybe six. That's if you want the who's in jail inmate roster and the jobs, and that takes up to seven then.
Yeah.
So, again, the questions are that I have for you. Go back to my presentation. Let's just start with the graphic buttons.
Yep.
What is your guys' sweet spot? And is it what I've listed right down here, agendas and minutes, beacon, online payments, notify me, and report a concern? Or does it also include who's in jail and jobs? So does it take us up to?
Yeah, so I'll go first and then ask Loris and Marty to weigh in. I like what you have there, agendas and minutes, beacon, online payments, notify me, report a concern, and I also like jobs. I do not like who's in jail. I don't think, I mean, the information needs to be available, but I don't think we need to be trying to push that out there.
My first thought, and this comes from my days of owning a for-profit, news website, is that the who's in jail, if we're selling ads, should be there because it could be a money generator. But we have no interest, as far as I know, to monetize this. And therefore, definitely, there's no need to put who's in jail on the front page. They'll find that they've been finding it so far. The jobs one, we do participate in the workforce solutions. And so I'm going back and forth on that, or whether it goes under your community, which is where, you know, we would be talking about the rest of it. So I will defer. I could take it or leave it. So I'll defer to you guys about whether jobs should be on or not. But I agree that the sweet spot needs to be, I think, 5 or 6.
And you like the 5 that she has listed.
I like the 5. I like the 5 that you have listed. Yes, that is so.
Marty?
I'm more of a function versus style. I don't want anything to, I know why we're moving away from what we got, but I don't want to get, I'm not necessarily getting caught up in the graphics. I would like to see, I think we've been well served by the committee. We instituted, I think they've given us good direction, good advice. I think that the buttons are something that we'll leave to them. I know that we will ultimately be the decider on it, but I think that they make a good argument as to why we have either or. I think that in mirroring what you guys have both have said, I see it in the Ames Trib and in the Nevada paper as far as taking out the arrests. So I don't think I feel cheated in any sense. And so if we didn't have the who's in our jail, that didn't bother me at least, then we didn't go looking there anyway. But I think that Loris makes a salient point in that I think that if we have openings in our boards or commissions or jobs, it should be nested there because we would like to think it's a catch-all website that's easily navigated and informative. To that end, I guess as we, you know, I've always been curious because Loris brought it a year ago to us as far as the transparency and the openness. I mean, has there been any discussions on this committee in regards to or getting a feel for the traffic that's generated on a hit basis on when people do research?
Yeah, we, I think it's been, wasn't it last fall that Paula ran the analytics? The we can use Google Analytics and figure out where it's coming from. And we did that as part of the...
As opposed to being a supposition, I'm more drawn to what in fact is. Because I think as we sit up here and have our opinions, I would be more data-driven in the sense that it's just like, okay, this is where historically the interest has been expressed as by what people go and actually look at. And that would give me a little bit more direction than sit up there and, well, I hope I get it right.
And that's where the buttons kind of originate, between that and the survey and, again, who's in jail being the number one. And then Beacon falling shortly thereafter, GIS. Melissa has a clarification.
I just want to clarify the job stuff under that at the bottom would be for county jobs.
Right.
Okay, thanks.
But
it's when you are,
right.
Yeah, so that would be for opportunities within Story County,
right.
Not the whole county. I just want to make that clear.
I appreciate that. Because Marty started talking about it.
Yeah. All right, so let me try to see if I can synopsize what kind of direction we're getting here, and you guys just correct me if I misheard. What I'm hearing is we like the idea of these buttons standing out. We are not weighing in on whether it's the full-blown graphics or just regular buttons. As long as they stand out, we want you guys to make that decision. And I would say the caveat would be we all want something that's going to be as easy to maintain as possible and then doesn't get outdated too quickly. We do not like the who's in jail button down at the bottom, and we might like the jobs button, but we're not vested in it. Is that a fair representation of what the three of us are saying?
Good summary.
Right? Okay.
And you are okay with us combining your government departments under your government?
Correct. I think that's the way it should be. I think it's a little confusing when we've got elected officials listed under departments. And, so I'd rather go be your anything else that we need to help give the committee some direction on, or anything else you want us to know?
Are we clear?
You are clear. Yes. Thank you very much.
We've done what we're tasked to do.
I just have one more follow-up question. Was about Civic Plus is saying we can only get one mock-up at a time.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Are we limited on how many mock-ups we can even have?
I don't remember. Did Lauren talk about that? I don't think she said that. No. The limitation is the overall schedule.
Right.
And they build it pretty aggressively on both ends of the spectrum. And if we reach a stage where we need another mock-up, it may send the schedule different, which is we'll address that if it happens.
I thank you, the committee members, for getting this to move forward and keeping the consensus going, and it definitely looks like your head is in the right direction. You know, it's meeting our expectations.
It's January. It'll be here before we realize it. So, and it's needed. I agree. We're well served by the committee. I look forward to that. Your next presentation. Thank you.
Good. Thanks, Leanne. Next is discussion consideration of county support of the Ames branch of the NAACP. So how this got to us is I actually got two separate requests sent to me requesting that the county participate. I felt like it was worthy of bringing to the board table for us to talk about. It is not something that the Board of Supervisors has consistently participated in. In fact, being some level of sponsor is something the county has never done. But the county will occasionally, for certain events, buy a table and make those seats available to staff or elected officials to participate. That's really kind of the vision that I brought this forward with for us to discuss. What we would do as a county going forward, and that's why it's before us.
Well, if you speak on a historic basis, what was done the last time it was done?
We did, and I'll look to Wayne. I don't think the last time the NAACP had something that the county purchased a table. I'm not sure. I can't go back further than that, but there have been times that the county has purchased seats at events like this, and there have been other times that we have not purchased seats at events like this. For me, Marty, whether it's the NAACP or some other group or event, I think it's a one-by-one kind of consideration. There are times that it's worthy of spending county dollars to purchase a table and having, especially if we have certain staff members or elected officials that are highly vested in that organization, to make sure that Story County has a presence at those events. We just need to talk through what our philosophy is, and then based on what that philosophy is, what, if anything, we're going to do with this NAACP banquet. And again, please underscore, I will be reluctant if you guys want to go beyond anything that involves the county simply buying seats, tickets to attend. You're going to find some reticence in me because I don't believe that's an appropriate use of taxpayer dollars. I do believe it can be an appropriate use to attend these events and purchase the tickets where necessary to attend these events.
My first hope was, an excitement when I saw this, was that perhaps former Supervisor Clinton was being honored. That was actually my first thought there. Okay, so, but you're honored every day, Wade. Okay.
I could comment on that.
Okay, there is.
Since the letter came from Ed to Clinton,
right.
We'll let you sit this one out.
Be careful on it. Okay. We have talked before up here at the board table a couple times about comments about, do we want to create formal policies on asks, or do we make it just open that anybody can come and make an ask of it at any point in time? And I have also voiced my reluctance to do any sponsorship of anything. Even the leadership debate, we paid, but we didn't want to be listed as a sponsor. I am also aware, as Rick said, that there have been times, I think my last year for the chamber dinner, for some reason the county paid for those seats. Because I noticed it because I was getting all ready to put it on my credit card. This year, the county did not pay for those seats. And yes, I've talked to the fee is off of the treasurer. That's an internal thing, okay? So it becomes about, what do we do to recognize an organization like this and our support of it, but still try to stay within some kind of parameters. So I went back to when we discussed about ice cream for the summer party that Team Story did. And Lisa Markley had looked into that and said, well, that doesn't qualify. Buying ice cream for the staff doesn't qualify as a use of taxpayer money. Okay, for that. So that's where I'd like to start our discussion a little bit more about, it is appropriate that sometimes we ask county staff to attend events. Okay, it's appropriate for us to attend events, right? So, and we have
historically most times paid for it ourselves, right?
So one thought I had was, I mean, I'd be willing to pay $250 to help purchase the 5 tickets and memberships for staff. That would is what we did with the ice cream. For that's one solution, right? It's kind of dodging the greater issues, but it helps support the event. The other one would be, do we want to set some guidelines about when is it appropriate? Or if a group comes to us and asks for this type of participation, do we want to say, okay, but then we're not going to do it on a regular basis, so please understand this is a one time in 3 years or one time in 5 years, so that if nothing else, we can budget some money every year. And then do it for some other groups on a rotating. I also thought about the fact at home I have 3 invitations to upcoming fundraisers. All of them, you know, for one of them being Boys and Girls Club, okay, coming up or whatever. So where do we draw that line? And that's so if we want to do see people on a rotating basis, then say, well, let everybody know this is available and they can come ask if they want. So are there any options out there?
Yeah. I think good options and good things for us to consider. Marty, what are your thoughts?
Well, dusted off an old memory on the ice cream, and the rest of the story is if nobody knows that we each wrote a check and bought ice cream for the county employees. That's how we did it. I guess that's your jump off.
Right.
And I see where you're going on this. I guess that I have comfort in, I don't even know on a purchase of a table how much interest lies within the county government, because I think we would be holding it out for not only ourselves, if ourselves, but for somebody else. And I would like to think that on a sounding basis, I went back here and they want to know by January 25th as regards to who would like to attend. I mean, I don't want to commit ourselves to, you know, an out-of-pocket expense that is modestly taken advantage of. I guess I would want to know if who within the county would like, if we were to do this on an individual basis, that they like to step up and say, yes, I would. That would be something worthy of my time and my monies, and I would go.
All right. So am I hearing a suggestion that we send out something to all staff that if there were tickets available to this event, would you be interested in attending?
I think it would be our due diligence, because the thing is, I think we get ahead of ourselves by committing with not knowing the demand.
Okay.
I think that's a reasonable request. How about putting that in the form of a motion?
I would move that we, since we have the luxury of time, because like I said, it's January 25th, they're looking for a permit, that we do a notice to the county employees that we are looking to purchase a table at the NAACP event here on February 1st, and like to know if they would like to be in attendance. I don't know how I want to say the dollar thing. How would I want to put that in there?
About we are paying for it.
That's the whole thing. It's just like, are we?
So what I'm hearing, Marty, if you finish that motion, I'm hearing that it would be an email probably from me to all staff saying a request has been made to Story County to purchase a table. If there were tickets available to you, would you attend this event on February 1st and just see what kind of response we get back?
That is my motion.
Great. I would second that.
Okay. Any further discussion?
None.
Then we'll take it next week based on the response to go ahead and...
I guess that's the direction and the depth I'm looking for. You know, just, it's easy to sit up here between 3 people and say, yeah, that's a great idea, let's go do it, and then find out 3 people.
Right.
Buy a table for 10. Let's find out who wants to go.
Okay.
Good. Further discussion?
None.
Okay, we've got a motion to poll all staff to see how much interest there is if tickets were available in attending this event. And this will come back to our agenda next week with the results of that inquiry. Further discussion?
None.
Chief?
Aye.
Olson?
Aye.
Sanders? Aye. All right, come back next week.
Thank you.
Yeah, Linda, come on up. Start by introducing yourself and please speak into the microphone.
Thank you. My name is Linda Merkin. I live in Franklin Township. I just, as a former government employee, wanted to bring something up, and I don't know if it's helpful or not. In our department, we often relied on an attorney general's opinion on public purpose of use of government funds. And I don't know that it just applies to state monies. I think it also applied to any public funds.
It applies.
Okay. I don't know if if your county attorney might be helpful on looking at that in terms of this kind of an expenditure and saying whether it fit into the public purpose.
Thank you. Absolutely.
Yep. Just coming back, I'd love to find a way for us to be able to support some local organizations. And this is one that I personally understand the importance of. So from a public purpose, I like the suggestion about relooking at the attorney, having our attorney look at the attorney general's opinion about where do we fit in.
That's where I would go. To that end, it's just like I don't think a policy directive is almost like case by case. And we're putting our toe in the water right now, kind of finding out where we're.
Okay.
So we'll find out and have more for next week. Stay tuned.
Yep, it'll come back to us next week. Super. Next item is discussion consideration of employee assistance program policy. Alyssa.
Good morning, Alyssa.
I know. I want to make sure I'm correct. What I said. Good morning. In front of you, you have a draft of an employee assistance program policy. We implemented an employee assistance program back in July of 2015 for all of our employees. And looking at it and some questions that have come up, I just wanted to put together a formal policy. Kind of gives, what's the intent behind this, what is meant by it, and gives some guidelines as far as training and administrative procedures. One thing I do want to mention is you'll notice the format is a little bit different than the past policies. If you don't like it, we'll nix it and go back to the other. Our intern actually developed this. My struggle is sometimes we pull up an old policy is when was it, how many revisions has it had?
Right.
When was it initially adopted? So I would like to go to something that would give us a little bit more information and some consistency when we have county policies. Other than that, it's pretty self-explanatory if you've read the policy.
What we're actually doing.
Absolutely.
Yeah. And so I'll weigh in first on the format. I like the format a lot. I think it's clear and concise having at the top of it when it was approved, how many revisions we've gone under, and I think this will make it easier when we get down the road, when Story County gets down the road dealing with these kind of things. So I appreciate the format that you're coming in. I like it when we put in the employee assistance program, and I appreciate bringing forward policy to reflect that.
It's clean, straightforward, and at that end, I would move consideration of the employee assistance program policy for 7-day review.
I would second.
Okay. Any further discussions?
No.
Chief.
Aye.
Olson.
Aye.
Sanders. Aye. Passes. Goes out for 7-day review.
I'll be back next week.
Thank you, Alyssa.
Okay.
Next item is discussing consideration of the 2017 annual report. And Christina.
Good morning.
Good morning.
Good morning.
Is this your first time, Christina? I can't remember.
Yes, it is.
Okay. No pressure, just say what you need to say.
So I'll start as I hand it to you. What a spectacular job in terms of visual putting something together. I know the two of you are responsible for the content in here and how it's put together. Supervisor Olson, my understanding is you went through this with a fine-tooth comb and made lots of suggestions on layout and grammar and things like that, so thank you to you. Marty, I know you and I both got to look at it, but I'm not sure we had a whole lot of input.
No, a whole lot
of suggestions.
I was looking over Laura's shoulder, and I think her journalistic instincts served us. I see this as something that I look forward to adopting for the fact that it is we have a wonderful story to tell. We have put it in that a very consumable form, and I hope people, when they get a chance to look at it, read it.
I've said it a couple of times. 2017 was a highly consequential year. From my perspective, a phenomenal year for us here in Story County. I think this represents that. Anything to add before we hear from the two that put it together?
I want to commend both of them for the vision that they had with this, what appears to be the organization. I mean, when it gets to me, I got that little edit pencil out. You know, I'm looking for the picky stuff. And I also appreciated when went down and did the feedback that readily both Leanne and Chrissy had great suggestions for alternatives. It was a pleasant conversation. Thank you for that and the just the way that it all came together. So very, very good work. Always here, I think.
All right.
Okay,
go
off
and
hand it to Chrissy. Go for it. And we have Chrissy, when she excused herself, realized that we hadn't put it on here. So we have it page by page online as well. And so what you're looking at is both the hard copy in draft format and then what will eventually be placed online once it's approved and accepted. So this is something the board's done. You know, I'll pull it for me. Thank you, Shelley. What the board has done for several years now, I think 3 or 4 years in a row. And we've had a little different format each year. If you recall, last year it was they take the size and fold it in half. As we started getting the content laid out and identified, we realized we can't do that size. One, the font was extremely small for people that need assistance. So, yeah. So we went to this larger size, and I think this is probably what we might stick with, too. I like how we can outline the content. Just quite simply, what I do every year is I go through the board's meetings. I start this in December, starting in January, and I take a snapshot of every single board meeting. When you see the capture of the meetings, the agenda items, but through that I get ideas of what content really should or could be included. So with that, if it is approved today, we'll get it, one, online. If there's any changes, obviously make those. But then to distribute to all the city halls and libraries like we do with our story. It's on the same paper that we're using for our story, so that's been delivered and we're ready to go. I think we might print it online. I want to do the cost and benefit of doing that. I mean, print it in-house, I'm sorry. Cost and benefit of doing that. Now that we have a new copier, it's a lot easier for us to do. So with that, I'll let Chrissy just walk you through, and then as you go page by page, let us know any questions or anything you see.
Absolutely. Okay, so when starting this project, I was given the guidelines of we need an annual report, and we would like it to be themed around Story County. And those are kind of vague.
Wow, you're very interesting direction. Yeah,
but so I rolled with a Story County color scheme, so I think that's a good way. It was a happy accident that this picture that's on the front is also on the probably going to be on the website, so two thumbs up there. So on the first page, we just have a thank you from Rick. Yeah, it's pretty basic. A lot of annual reports from counties have chair thank yous for a great year. Next page is the table of contents, so it lays out everything that's in this report, page numbers, and then we have a pretty picture down at the bottom. The next page, I kind of wanted to do a little history, a little timeline of kind of some of the big things that have happened in Story County since its formation. So these were just a few, I think, 16 things that I found, big historic dates. So that's what I got there. Any questions on that one?
I would say on this page, and I know I did a quick read, but like I was saying, I was looking over Loris's shoulders and reading her notes and seeing what she was correcting. I suspect we lowered Lady Justice sooner than 1951, and I've got some documentation to show you that, but
that's neither here nor there, but I would point that out, that I don't think that's the correct use of that.
Okay.
It was taken from the history that Fragment Eason put together, a story kind of former supervisor.
Well, I prepare to be wrong, as I sometimes am.
Well, I know you did all the research for Leadership Nevada, too, so, I mean, we can...
No, I'll show you why I would say that here, and it's just in the office. It's a quick yes or no. So, that's it.
Next page is our fiscal responsibility. So we have a little paragraph talking about what we did this year, having a balanced budget again, so that's wonderful. A chart showing actual expenses, revenues, taxes, and reserves. And then down at the bottom, we have a little note on where to view the auditors, the budget summary from the auditor's office. So citizens can easily find that for a more detailed analysis of the budget. Questions on that one? Okay. Next page is supervisors' actions. So it's pretty standard. We do have a little snippet about the Golden Eagle Award, and Wayne, is he still here?
Yeah, he moved.
Congrats. So, yep, just what you guys did this year. Did a lot, so that's good. Next page is legislative and policy action. So we talk about a lot. There's a lot of words on this page, but that's okay. We talk about the C2C plan and the animal control and welfare, things like that. Along with the continuation, we have Crestview Mobile Home Park and the strategic review. The next page is all about the Cornerstone to Capstone Comprehensive Plan, and it kind of gives a breakdown of the four main areas there with little graphics. Next page is capital improvements. So, improvements. They're great. And we feature some photos from the different improvements. Next page is community betterment and economic development planning. So we talk about home-based Iowa, scale and BEC. So, Loris, I know that y'all look better.
It looks great.
Okay.
Thank you.
Okay. That was one of the things to look at. So. And the next page is continuation of that section. So we talk about the Urban Renewal Area Program and have our nice little map there. And I know, Loris, you wanted to have the individual numbers up in this paragraph above. After thinking about it, we didn't put them in just because we don't want to lessen one improvement by putting a number on it. I mean, each improvement that happens, like, is great no matter what, and just because, you know, one project got X amount of money doesn't make another less because it didn't get...
I gotcha. I understand, and I appreciate you vetting it and you guys discussing about it, because that's how where I left, as you make the decision. You know, and then next year, as the project comes to the surface again, there can be just the discussion as we continue to use bigger paper, as I said, or whatever. Do we want to put a few more financial facts in? That was the gist of the discussion. So I understand it.
I would probably, just to that end, I mean, as I looked at it, I thought, you know, communities have everything that we approve is a one of one.
Right.
And the thing is, I would probably tie in on that observation, in the sense that I don't want a community thinking we think less of them, or that they have, you know, the dollars involved spoke to their request, what their needs were, and we tried our best to meet them. And I would not want anybody to come away from an experience that we're working with us because that dollar value was less, or that they thought a neighbor was greater, and they in turn were diminished.
Yeah, so I think I actually agree with both points of view. When you guys came down and asked my opinion, I guess after Loris asked you about it, you were coming to get all of our opinions. I'm the unabashed numbers guy, right? I love the numbers, and so my initial reaction is always let's include. But it makes perfect sense to me. If you're somebody like me, the second we put numbers on a page, I start to compare them. And for me, I would lose what the projects were if the numbers were on there. So it makes perfect sense to me. But, Loris, I come down where you are. I'd like us to include as many numbers in this in the appropriate places as we possibly can.
For future plans, you're good.
All right.
Okay.
Next page is about the facade grant improvement and economic development planning. So we have the checks for the facade grant improvement pictures, and then a little chart about economic development planning. And the next two pages are the water and conservation spread. I did blue because water was blue. Yeah, that's great. So yeah, it just highlights a bunch of different projects that were going on in there, and then ties in photos with us.
You and Leanne's supervision did a great job of alternating on the layout, but still making it very easy to transition from page to page.
All right. Next page is outreach and community engagement, or I guess next spread. So we talked about the 50th anniversary groundbreaking ceremony and the Citizen of the Year. We have some highlights about the cemetery training and Story County Fair and things like that. Oh, that's the next page. I'm sorry. Getting towards the end here, we have the emergency preparedness page. So we talk about the exercises that went on there and have some photos featured. The last page is development updates. So we have a map and a little paragraph, and then we also put in a table with the subdivision names and the location that they are close to. So I think it looks okay in print form.
Yeah.
It's kind of fuzzy up there, but that's far away. So.
Looks good.
And then the back page. And we also added a note down at the bottom, directing citizens towards, you can view this online, along with other reports from the county.
Mm-hmm.
Thank you.
Well, I think it is phenomenal, and I think it absolutely, if the intent is to get information out into the public's hands and to underscore what a consequential year we had here in Story County, I think it absolutely does that. I think you guys should absolutely be commended for the work you put in. And I would suggest that we need to go down the road of you guys, assuming it's going to get approved here in a minute, of you guys submitting this for every award possible that comes from a publication like this. I'm sure ISAC has some. I'm sure NACO has some. But let's spend a little time to recognize the effort you put in and the results that I think this supplies to our citizens.
Same story you had with C2C. I mean, you know, well, Leanne could tell the story better than I, but it was something the county took on a multi-year role with the discussions with the citizens, and we were awarded for that. I suspect this has a good possibility going forward, both on the state and national level. I see Wayne back there nodding. He would know.
Remember, Ryan, I said he knew why.
I believe there'll be a discussion up here, Wayne.
All right. If there's nothing further, I take a motion to approve the annual report.
I would approve the annual report. Good job.
And with a hearty thank you, and I would second that.
Absolutely. Do we know how? So you're talking about you got some money in the budget to produce these. You're going to look to see if it's going to be more cost effective to send it out to be printed or print it in house. How many copies do we generally start with?
I'm trying to remember what our story is. I think we go about 750.
Okay. And then we'll try to get them out to all the libraries, every city hall.
Ames Day at the Capitol, we've taken down there. Last year we did contract out and had alpha copies do them.
Uh-huh.
And I think that was only, what, $300? It wasn't very much.
Yeah.
And that might be a better solution, too. But this is a larger size.
Yeah, so I would just suggest it's worth our time for you to find the most cost-effective way to get the number, whether it's 750 or 1,000 or whatever it is we need to get those produced. Great job. Any further discussion?
None.
Olson?
Aye.
Cheney?
Aye.
Sanders? Aye. Thank you, guys.
Good job.
Next item, sticking with you two, is a discussion of the 2018 communication plan.
So I'm going to kick it off, and then Chris will join in as well. This was first adopted in 2014 by the Board of Supervisors, and then amended that year shortly thereafter. kind of trying to work our way through how we enhance the means in which we communicate with our targeted audiences, which a precursor to a slide yet to come. And then every year since, it has been adopted either January or February. Last year, we did change the format slightly to match the branding of the C2C plan, and then was before you is in draft format. It has four main elements, and these have been consistent throughout. We did change up some of the approaches this year, however. The goals, target audiences, strategies, and action steps, and we'll focus really on the goals. Target audiences did remain consistent, however. Just some background on how it was developed, even going back to 2014. I was not yet in this position. I was still in planning development, and the board at that time directed me to come up with a plan to outline communication strategies for Story County, and specifically the board of directors. So I had to switch from a city planner hat to a communication specialist hat. So I did what any good city planner does, Googled it, and came up with City of Chula Vista. Really had one that really jumped out at me. I hyperlinked their current one. I'm not going to really show it unless you want to see it. But if you look at what they had in 2014, a lot of the strategies and a lot of the format were very similar. Not directly replicating it, but using it as a guidance. Then again, as I said, we maintained kind of that format till last year when we switched the branding of the format layout to match the CTC branding, which we did with the strategic plan and the CIP as well. So this year, Chrissy came on board and said, okay, here's another project for you. And we started doing some research. Really, what she found was a great how-to manual, too, and I linked that, too, if you'd like to see it. But we looked at Mecklenburg County, which is they have a really great communications plan. They have a full public information office, so that makes it a little bit easier to have the aggressive plan that they have. And then we also looked in within Iowa at our peer counties. So Chrissy looked at Johnson, Woodbury, Pottawatomie, Dallas, Jasper, Boone, Marshall, Hardin, Hamilton, and Blackhawk. And then I reached out to Susan Guazzo with City of Ames, and I gave you all a copy of her email. I was curious because they do have a department, how they manage it, and they don't actually have a communications plan, which I was actually, as I said, surprised to hear about. But then I also kind of delved down a little bit deeper in the county, peer county review that Chrissy did. I looked at those that were used for the salary survey, in particular from my position. And those are Cerro Gordo, Johnson, and Hardin County. None of those have a communication plan or a position that is managing a plan. So I thought that was important, at least have that baseline to see how we formulate the plan and go forward. Any questions thus far?
I was just going to say, in the peer county review, so the first bullet point under there, I pretty thoroughly researched all of those different counties looking for a communications plan and found nothing saying that it was like a strategic communications plan. I found many emergency communications plans, but nothing that's specific to how to better communicate within the county, not in an emergency.
Right.
So. And I had I directly contacted individuals with Cerro Gordo, Johnson and Hardin, and nothing. They don't have anything. So I think that, again, demonstrates we won an award for our communications plan a couple of years ago that demonstrates that we are a leader in this regard. Okay, now gains and goals. For the most part, they are the same as they've been, just some tweaking of language. This is the only slide I promise I will read from in this regard, in this particular item. Number one, transparency and accessibility through duration of projects and issues in Story County and access to factual information for the public and county employees. Number two, share the Story County vision with the general public and decision makers. Third, improve communications between the Board of Supervisors and our constituents. Fourth, engage the community through service and recognition. And last, enhance emergency response communication. So in essence, those have been the goals. Again, they've been slightly modified to really relate well to the strategies that Chrissy will cover here.
Absolutely. So in the transparency and accessibility through duration of projects and issues in Story County, in the first goal, that was actually in previous plans, two separate goals. It was the transparency and accessibility through durations of projects and issues, and then the access to factual information were two separate goals. When I was looking at the strategies and the action steps that we have, I found that many of those kind of fell into both of those goals and couldn't really be classified into one of them. I thought these can be very similar. We should combine these. So that's what I did. And then we added another goal, the engaged community through service and recognition. We do a lot of things that would fall into a goal like that already in Story County. And I think it's really important to, you know, serve the county. I mean, we're doing it every day, but then also recognize outstanding individuals, departments, and projects that go on. So, yeah. These are just, it's kind of a breakdown of the individual goals. So if we jump, I'll do you.
Actually, I would like to ask about going back to the strategy and action steps there for the transparency. So I think that the next slide.
Yeah, we're like four ahead.
There we go. Okay. So we say annual report, and I made a note about should this be plural. Because the sheriff's office issues annual reports sometimes. We discuss it with the auditor, and that we all had a discussion about, you know, who should even the annual report cover. And so that's a philosophy, because if we have a communications plan, this is board focused once again. Okay?
Right.
And do we want to stay with that, or do we want to look at communications plan of all of Story County? I'm putting that.
Yeah, so it's a really interesting question. So we have the authority to put in a communication plan for the Story County Board of Supervisors and everything that's under our purview.
Right.
We don't have the authority to require the sheriff to do one or the county attorney to do one.
Right.
And it's the reason, Morrison, Leanne, you helped me. I think when we had this conversation 4 years ago, we talked about how holistic we wanted to be. And the decision that at that time Wayne and Paul and I made was, well, inside our control is what happens with Story County and the areas that report to us. So let's write a plan that deals with that and let everybody else within their authority decide what they're going to do.
Okay.
Yeah.
Thank you. And but to build on that too, then in July when my position was created and I transferred into it, I went out and individually met with all the elected officials and department heads and shared this too and said, I'm available to help. And some have taken advantage of that too, which I appreciate. Then we can get the information out there in a very collective fashion and it has worked well.
Then the other one I had under this goal is for the strategy and action steps, and I was wondering if we haven't left out some items, timely press releases as an item that we use, audio and or video of many boards and commission meetings posted online. That's a strategy we use for transparency. And our story quarterly in the Sun, although I know that our story is down under share the vision, and I go back and forth on this. I understand why you put it under the vision, okay? Mm-hmm. But the first two timely press releases and the audio video are strategies we use to regularly reach out for transparency and accessibility. I would just add those two.
Yeah, absolutely. There is a note down on the left-hand corner that strategies and action steps may fall into both,
right?
Or more than one goal, but I just put them under the one that I feel they mesh the most with.
I got it.
But we can go to the next one. Share the Story County vision with general public and decision makers. They're listed, and you had an opportunity to review the plan in advance.
I had no other comments.
Okay.
Thank you, though.
Yeah. So, improve communications between the board's supervisors and our constituents. So again, we just have increased engagement on social media, help organize and facilitate special events, monthly radio updates, quadrant meetings, and provide timely response to public record requests.
Provide a timely response. You've got it in your there. It's Nancy. Okay.
And what Chrissy has done that I'm finding extremely helpful, even this morning, she's gone ahead and for the calendar year of 2018, first I'm saying 2007, now I'm saying 2019. She's done almost a social media plan attack for me with some pre-populated tweets and Facebook posts that I can just go to Google Drive, copy and paste, and did it. So I did it this morning about the department work sessions, or budget work sessions that start this week, and it's out by calendar date, and opportunity for other departments and elected officials to feed us information to build into that. So that'll be something we keep going. That's something I wanted to do for a number of years, but I haven't had someone to help me do it with the time. So I'm appreciating having Chris in the office.
Next one is engage the community through service and recognition. So the main things that we do each year are Citizen of the Year, National County Government Month, and County Employees Participation in United Way Day of Caring. Do you have anything else that you would like to add in there?
So we regularly have blood drives?
Yeah.
I don't know that we're engaging the community, but we